getting ready for our mission trip, they had given us a packet, and one of the items was a packing list, what to take, what not to take. And on there was a suggestion that we seriously look at the t-shirts that we're going to be taking on our mission trip, that the logos are appropriate. It reminded me a couple weeks ago out at the mall shopping that I came across a young person wearing this logo on their t-shirt. Do I look like I care? Do I look like I care? Well, what do those words convey? Well, immediately for me, I saw it as sarcasm, and then it kind of implied a negative response. You know, I quickly judged that person, like, why would they do that? Why should we care about what others do with their lives? You know, as a society, we are having kind of a sense that we're losing that sense of community, what it means to be in community. In the book, Habits of the Heart, the writer laments this, that we seem to be obsessed with the language of me first, scarcely owning a vocabulary that focuses on a commitment to community. The root word for community, of course, is common. A community works together for the common good for all its members. You and I were created to live in community. God calls us into community. Yes, He gives each and every one of us individual gifts, but not for self-gratification or self-interest, but for the common good for all. So how about this maybe for a logo t-shirt? I hope I look like I care. I do. You know, there's a saying that a lone Christian is no Christian at all. And that might at first seem kind of harsh, but our God is a God of relationships. And personally, anyone who's not a part of the church, I feel that they probably have not yet discovered that or experienced that. And for those who are in the church, that should concern us. A story is told of a man who went to go live with his daughter after his wife died. His daughter was an active member of the church and found great joy being part of the community of faith. Her parents, also very active in the church and had many friends. But after her mother died, her dad stopped going to church and became more isolated. The pastor made several visits to persuade the father to return to church. And the visits always ended with the father stating that he didn't need to go to church to be a Christian and that he read his Bible every day. A couple years had passed and a new pastor came to the church. And the daughter explained the situation and asked if she would go visit her father. It was a cold day when the pastor made her visit. The man answered the door, and before the pastor could speak a word, the man set her straight. I know my daughter asked you to come to me and try to talk me back to church. Now let me tell you right now, save your breath. You can come in, warm yourself by the fire, but there'll be no talking about going back to church. Well, the pastor went in, and she and the gentleman sat looking at the logs burning in the fireplace. After a while, the pastor got up, took a pair of tongs, and pulled a coal from the fire and sat it on the hearth and then sat down. Both of them watched as the coals flared up and burned and then began to smolder. And soon the coal lay dead on the hearth. The man turned to the pastor and said, "You can go now. I'll be in church Sunday." Community is a vital part of our faith experience, and that's the way God designed it. A congregation is only as strong as its sense of community. It's a matter of our identity, and that's the subject of our first lesson. God gives Israel a role to be a called out people living together. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, commissions 12 disciples, not as individuals, but as a community we call the church. The privileges and responsibilities of communion, of community, help us to look beyond ourselves. The individual will ask, "Who am I?" The person of a sense of community will ask, or will say and express, "Whose I am." It is impossible to discover the true meaning of our life until we ask the right question. Moses climbs Mount Sinai, and God gives us a message for the people. It begins with a statement of what God has done for them, and then calls them to a purpose, to a response. God's prior action calls us to respond. The person of faith responds by recognizing God's activity in their life. Paul states that in our second lesson, God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Gathered in community, we are fed in word and sacrament together. A couple of questions that are questions that we should be asking throughout our whole faith journey. How well, and this depends on where you are, but for now, how well do you know this church family? And nobody can say you know everybody, because we have two services. How well do you know our history as a church family? A very rich history. In 2020, we will celebrate 150 years as a congregation. That is pretty awesome. How concerned are you about those who follow us? Are we only here for our own sake? Or what we do now is with the thought of those who are going to carry on our mission while we're gone? When we're gone? Question. Do others see us as a people who are faithfully walking in the footsteps of those who've gone before us? What we do in the present speaks a lot about what we've gleaned from our past. And also, while we're doing ministry, we need to have a vision of what is yet to come in carrying out God's purposes. That's a part of capturing what it means to be a faith community. It is an ongoing movement, a seeking to live in such a way that those who follow us will look back and call us faithful. When people look at us, do they see people who care? Together, we respond to God's love. Together, we share his love with one another. Together, that love is evident in all that we are about doing. In the words of Martin Luther, may it be said, this is most certainly true. Amen.